right, good morning, everybody. I know the last time I was up, I think I did like two different times a lesson on believing a lie, the consequence for believing a lie. It's one thing to tell a lie, but the Bible actually deals with believing a lie. So we use the great illustration out of the Old Testament for that. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, every plant that my heavenly Father hasn't planted is going to be rooted up. Jesus said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If a blind lead the blind, both go in the ditch. And sometimes people go, man, that don't seem fair. You know, well, there's about personal responsibility, though, to know the truth. That's why God, you know, has made his truth abundantly known. We need to be truth seekers. Now, we concluded, I know, at the end of the Gospel of John, you know, where first off it said that truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, you know, here in John 20 and verse 30. But then he said, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. Now he's talking about not only good life here, blessed life here in the spiritual sense. That doesn't always mean things, you know, are great down here. They're not. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and so will you. Obviously, the world's broken. We see that. But because God works a transformation that was just brought out in the communion meditation, God brings about a transformation that changes the man on the inside, manifesting on the outside. That's what being born again is all about. It's something that actually takes place if you have the faith for it. Well, these things that were done in the first century, as powerful as they were, are now written. Written in this book, these are written that you may believe that Jesus, that believing these things, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that, and living it, that's the whole idea. It's not just intellectual assent. James makes it very clear, brethren, he said, you got to be doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving yourselves. We have to do. But we should be motivated to do, because when these things, when our mind opens up to the truth of the scripture and the power of it, wow, it draws you up into it. And it becomes your focus. It's called mindset on things above. Colossians chapter 3, starting right in the first verse. If you've been raised with Christ, he said, in your new birth, in your immersion, well, he said, then set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. Why? Because you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I died? Did I? Well, do you believe? You see, you can't go by your limited experience. We can't trust what we think and what we feel. We have to put off concerning our former conduct, Paul said, our old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. He said we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may put on the new man created by God in true righteousness and holiness. Powerful transformation is to take place. Now, believing and having life, that's that new life, that's that we all desperately need. It's already been said, already been mentioned, the world is a very troubled place right now. I know we got stuff right on our TV screens right now coming right in there. That's nothing new. The fact that it's blowing up in Ukraine, Russia invading, thousands, over a million now, refugees, people fleeing. I was doing a study with Avni and his family in Kosovo Friday. And Avni told me, Stevie, I can't let my mom see that TV because of the memories that come rushing back when that happened to the Albanians in Kosovo 20 years ago or whatever. When they were on the run, when they were being gunned down, when they were being assaulted, driven totally. Milosevic drove all these Albanians right out of Kosovo, man. Javed Durako, you know, Fiola's been here, Javed's been here. Gee whiz, he's on our website. But Javed told me, you know, they tried to flee from their town in Prizren, and jumped. He got him, his wife in the car, two of his daughters, and his son, Lotrim, because they were trying to get away, and they got stopped at a Serbian roadblock. And they jerked Javed out of that car, and they told him, we're going to kill you. And his wife was sitting in there, and he told him what they were going to do to her. He had the kids hiding under a blanket in the back seat. He goes, Mr. Steve, I've never been so afraid in my life. Not for himself, but for his family. Now, you know, he was a baby doctor. He's a pediatrician. Javed said one of those Serbian soldiers looked at him and realized that he was the doctor that delivered his children. He told those other Serbs, let him go. Let him go. Javed said, Mr. Steve, God saved me. When Fiola told me the story later on about how they got stopped at a Serbian roadblock and they were hiding under the blanket. See, the kids, they were moving under that blanket and one of them Serbs stuck his gun. Who's back there? And Javed's like, little children. Those were teenage girls. He didn't want them to look to find out who was under that blanket. But when Fiola told me the story, she goes, we tried to get out of town in the car, and they stopped us at a roadblock. But she said, it was no problem. They knew my dad. I go, oh, is that right? Huh? I thought your dad obviously didn't tell you the whole story like he told me. And so I didn't tell her. So she didn't know. Avni says, I can't let my mom see that TV because it all comes flooding back. You see, it happens all the time. That's the thing. But, you know, it's God that tells us that. Jesus said in the world, you're going to have tribulation. What do you think tribulation looks like? Wars. Jesus said there'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be famine. There'll be pestilence in various places. And what do we see? I saw a little blurb on my phone on the news that Iowa just got hit with a tornado and 7 people are dead. I didn't read the whole thing to see what all the devastation was, but it sounded bad. Stuff happens. Nature. Wars. Got that. Rumors of wars. Yeah, well, this was a rumor right up until 2 weeks ago. Now it's reality. Famine. Yeah, got that. Earthquakes, tornadoes. Jesus said, this ain't the end. This is the beginning of sorrows. It's always been like that. And it always will. Here. But the hope is, and I think it was Corey that read this. Well, it bears repeating. Peace, Jesus said, I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Now let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Boy, that's easy to say, isn't it? Don't be afraid. They go, we can hear the bombs. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. That sounds like a bumper sticker. Is that what this is, bumper stickers? Catchy cliches. Trust in God. He works in mysterious ways. You know what the Bible says? The Word of God is alive. And the Word of God is powerful. And the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It'll pierce right through there. This is from Almighty God that spoke a universe, all that can be seen with the eye, and they still can't see the end of this baby. Nebulas and galaxies, spiral galaxies, and they said it's still expanding. You know, if you're into all that, I don't know, it's what? If the light is red, it's coming at you. If it's blue, it's going away from you. They said the thing is still expanding. You know what the Bible says in the Old Testament? God stretched out the heavens. See, then it makes sense when you know the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second. We're seeing light from stars that would be a million light years away. Well, then how do we see the light? Because it started here, and he stretched it out. That's how we can still see it. Because technically, the light shouldn't be here yet. I don't know why I even bring that up. Proof! We need proof. I mean, we got to know that these things are true. And the creation, according to Romans chapter 1, by the things that are made, is eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, so that humans are without excuse. This high-tech stuff didn't get here by itself. Gee whiz, you wouldn't believe for 1 second that this iPhone got here by itself. And this is low-tech. This is low-tech. If them flowers were real, if they were, they're not, right, Sandy? They're not real. If they were, they'd be more high-tech than this iPhone. Seriously. The process of how those things grow and what they do with sunlight and all that stuff. This is low-tech. You wouldn't believe for 1 minute this could come into being by itself, functioning as a phone, and reproduce itself. I don't think so. Living things can. They reproduce. They're super high-tech. I've been in contact, I mentioned Anya before. They had to take off, her and her family, her mom and her dad and her brother. And they were scared to death. She said, I haven't slept in days. She said, I cry all the time, and we are drowning in blood. She said, I can't believe what's happening. She is just so shook up by the whole thing. She said, we made it to Western Ukraine, but we're still in Ukraine. And the lady I shared with you, Yulia, the poor little mother she was trying to help that had the disabled son, she got to her parents' village. It's just a little dinky village. They took her brother into the army, and they got her dad standing with some other guys guarding the little village, but they don't have any guns. I talked to Olga Goncharenko and her husband yesterday. In Belarus, you know, Belarus made a Lukashenko, their crazy dictator, he sided with Russia. So now the Belarusians, they're grabbing their young guys and dragging them into the army. Those they don't want to fight this war. These Ukrainians are their brethren. They got cousins. Half the good portion of people I know in Belarus are Ukrainian. They came when Russia took in the south, the Crimea. A lot of Ukrainians came. A lot of brethren in the church are Ukrainian. Olga said, we don't know what to do. Yakov, her husband, lost his job. The money ain't worth nothing no more, and the shelves are getting bare. These are real-time situations, but we're not here. We're not unaffected. It's already been brought out. You know, in our world, in our technology today, that stuff can be one button away. It's been like that for 60 years. What do you think the missile crisis was all about and back when John F. Kennedy was the president? When Khrushchev put those nuclear missiles, it was trying to anyway, into Cuba, John F. Kennedy said, no way, you're going to put them things 90 miles from here? They'd have been here in seconds. Now maybe we have 15 minutes or 20. For what that's worth, department. You know, that's enough time to say goodbye. I'll see you later. Meet you under the tree of life. So when I was in Oregon last week, I was seeing a news blurb about the invasion, all that stuff. And these people were crying out, and the commentators said, what they are saying is, merciful God, help us through this. I thought, wow. People crying out, merciful God, help us through this. And when you see the images, they are powerful. They are sad. It just is. You hate it. It is so unnecessary. This is all about one's man's vanity of wanting that old Soviet thing back. But hey, it was one man before, Hitler or Genghis Khan or Alexander the Great. It's always been like this, despots, tyrants. But you know, the prophecy said, yeah, but there's a kingdom coming that will not be shaken. It'll endure forever, ever, for all languages, tongues, people, nations. To press into. Now, when you study it out, of course, in the New Testament, Jesus said, well, first of John the Baptist, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the thing you've been waiting for. Jesus comes along after John's put in prison, and he has the same message, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand is right here. Not over there, right here. This is called at hand. Jesus said, some of you will not die until you see the kingdom come with power. It's coming in your lifetime. All right. And some come, the Pharisees demanded, when will the kingdom come? He said, look, when they say, oh, there it is over there. Oh, no, there it is over there. Jesus said, don't go. Don't go. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. For behold, the kingdom of God, he said, is within you. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. He said, doesn't come with observation. It's within you. Right over their head. Well, that's at me. Come on, man, let's go. We got to get to Rome, right? Throw old Caesar out of the White House, man. What are we waiting for? Let's do it. The kingdom came 2,000 years ago. Read the scriptures. That's why it's universal. The people that we were studying with on Saturday are born again Christians in Ukraine. This was amazing to me. That's what I wanted to share with you. The people that are crying out, merciful God, help us get through this thing. God does have a solution for this thing. Do you realize, according to the scripture, he does not change the world? It was Jesus that said there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes. Hey, he said pandemics. You know, that's pestilence, pandemics. Seen one of them lately? Right? And some of you have had it. Some of you barely survived it. And some didn't survive it. Big Mike Harbor comes to mind, right? See? Just like Jesus said. Well, God, you're just sitting up there? You know, that's what the atheist says. They think they've got the argument. They go, right, you worship God, right? This omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, and all present everywhere. God, compassionate, kind, good. You know, none good but God, Jesus said. God of love. You got a God like that, what's he doing, man? He just sitting up there? Why, Russia is blasting these people? Where people die of this pandemic? Tornadoes just come through town and blew half the town off the map? Where's your God, man? You'd think they had a case, right? Well, if you read this, you know why it's like that. The answer's in the Bible. It's God that tells you, yeah, that's your world. Yeah, in the world, Jesus said, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so you. My followers, he said, will be in the world, but not of the world. What the heck? What is this? That's a bunch of nonsense talk. You might think so until you read the rest of the story. Read what he says. How do you go through this process of being born again? They didn't understand that either at the first. Nicodemus is like, yeah, right. How can a man be born again when he's old? Does he enter the mother's womb a second time and be born? I don't think so. Jesus said you got to be born of water and spirit. You see people being born again in Acts chapter 2. They said, what should we do? The Jews cried out when they came under conviction from the apostle Peter that they had in fact killed the very Messiah they've been waiting for. They said, men and brethren, what should we do? Can you imagine that you killed the Son of God? Well, the hot tip here, pilgrims, is you did. You got to remember that. Why? Because he died for your sin, and he died for mine. But I am glad I wasn't there with the hammer and nails. I got to admit that. I'd just as soon not have had any part of that. I had my part, and so did you. But you know what? Peter told them exactly what Jesus said to tell them. Peter said, repent. You need to repent. You need to be baptized, immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells you you receive the gift of that Holy Spirit when that vessel has been cleansed. God can put a Holy Spirit in there because it's that Holy Spirit now as you develop that biblical faith that, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Peter said you got to go from milk of the word to the meat of the word, and that transformation that takes place by the power of Paul said Christ in you, a circumcision takes place, done without hands, and the removal of the body of the sins of the flesh. This is called transcendency. This transcendent faith will take us above, apart, and independent of the material world. Jesus would say, you'll be in it, but not of it. Now that sounds like nonsense until you lay it out and you see what he's saying. Merciful God, help us get. What do they want him to do? Kill Putin? Just, I don't know, send what, angels in there and wipe the place and kill them guys or what? That ain't happening. That is not going to happen. Jesus said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, drink, and put on. Don't worry about what's going on down here. He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You seek first the kingdom of God, which is present tense, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. God is very active. But remember this, he doesn't change the world according to the Bible. Don't expect the world to change. The world is not going to change. It's already been established. We read Jesus' words. In the world you will have tribulation. What the heck do you think tribulation looks like? But he said, but be of good cheer. Be happy. I've overcome the world. So you. So God is very busy. He doesn't change the world, changes us. Changes the individual. Changes the individual. I was going to tell you, in that Bible study, we had about a dozen people on there, mostly Belarusians, and some Belarusians that are actually Ukrainian. You know, they just live in Belarus right now. But we did have a group of our Ukrainians on there, and these are women at the drug and alcohol rehabilitation in Nikopol. Now, we've been there in person, me and Alan Marshall, and Bible studying with these. Now, they have men and women to keep them, you know, they have the women's houses and then the men's. And these are all Church Christ brethren down there. Stuart Merrill had something to do with that 20 years ago. Some of you know, you wouldn't know Stuart, sorry about that. Anyway. So, Oleg has been in contact with Slava. He kind of runs that show, but he's a former drug addict. They all are. And they've all basically been in prison, Russian prisons. And these gals that joined our study yesterday, they were just happy as heck. I was so surprised. They joined, they were very excited to be a part of it and all this stuff. And I quoted some of these verses because of their situation. You know, Jesus said, "My peace I live with you, not as the world gives." And, you know, "Don't let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid." And one of them ladies says, "We have peace. We're not afraid." She said, "The Russians are about 20 miles away. They're at the nuclear power plant that they set on fire the other day." She said, and Oleg told me from what Slava told him, they're heading to Nikopol. And that's where they're at. And she said, "We're not afraid. That we're not afraid." And I'm thinking, that's awesome. We've been there. These are rough, rough people, man. In fact, a couple of those ladies were in prison for murder. And just as zealous as they could be for God now, life-changing. And I'm thinking, because, you know, we have so many people that are afraid. They don't know what's going to happen. I'm talking about Americans now. You know, when we talk about people overseas, they're just humans. Like, we're humans. It's no different. This is the same message that needs to be preached in the United States of America, Russia, Africa, Asia, does not matter. This is for humans. This message is not from America. I've said that before. I have to make that clear sometimes when we're overseas. You know, you're from the States, you look kind of weird, you know, and you got this weird book, but you have to let them know, yeah, I am from the States. But this book is not. So this message that we share that Jesus was teaching is for all people for all time. It's from the Middle East, Jerusalem. It's from heaven is where it comes from. Now, so those women, this is what made me think of. Where do they, how come they're so strong in their faith when they got the guns and the bombs coming? They'll probably be there the next couple of days. They said, "We're not afraid. We have peace," the one lady said. Jesus was at a Pharisee's house having something to eat in verse 36 of Luke 7. Luke 7 and 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house, sat down. Behold, a woman in the city, who is a sinner, when she knew Jesus was at the table, the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he was a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him. She's a sinner." Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "So go ahead, teacher, say it." He said, "There was a certain creditor, had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other owed 50. And when neither had nothing of which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Now Jesus said, now tell me therefore, which of them would love him more?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose whom he forgave the more." And he said to him, "You've rightly judged." And he turned to the woman, and he said to Simon, "You see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Those at the table said, "Man, he blasphemed. Who is this that even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I love that story. You know what James says? The poor in this world are rich in faith. Why? The poor in this world are a little bit closer to the bottom of the Titanic. You know the story, big ship. They had rich people up in first class, but they had the common people, the steerage in the bottom of the boat, more of them down there than the people up topside whining and dining. When that baby hit that iceberg, guess where the water was coming in at? The lower level. Them people had a better grasp of the urgency of the situation. They had no illusions about where they were at, and they were all on the same boat. And it was going to sink. We're all on the same boat here, and this baby has hit an iceberg big time. It's going up in flaming fire. I really appreciate some of those people that have really been on the dark side. Now, you understand from the context, who really was in more trouble in the context of what Jesus was saying? Simon the Pharisee or the woman? The Pharisee didn't realize there was a problem, and he had a big problem. You don't have to turn there, but you know, it's also in Luke. It's the story Jesus tells about the publican and the Pharisee in Luke 18. Jesus said two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, decked to the nines, you know what, in, you know, religious adornments, a Pharisee. The other was a scumbag, low-life tax collector. You know, anytime Jesus wanted to talk about somebody really, you know, really that nobody liked, it was a publican, a tax collector, or a Samaritan. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The tax collector, standing afar off, wouldn't even so much as raise his eyes to heaven, beat on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, when he said to Simon, you know, about the one, when he asked him, who do you think would love more? You know, the one that, you know, was forgiven more? Or less. And you know, the Pharisee, that's an amazing thing with Jesus in his parables. Even when he was talking about his enemies, he'd ask them what they thought the answer to the parable was. It's funny, they knew the right answer every time. Then they'd realize, hey, wait a minute, he's talking about us, Willis. He'd set them up. He said, who do you think would love more? He said, well, I suppose the one he forgave the most. You've rightly said. You've rightly said. Yes, those who consider themselves as not forgiven much love little. I'll guarantee you what, brethren, and you know this, we've all been forgiven much. And anyone that thinks they've only been forgiven little ain't paying attention. The woman was closer to her situation. She was not invited to that dinner. Can you imagine the skirmish when she come in the door and pop, hey, 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 lady, whoa, whoa, whoa. And there she goes, man, right to the table. Throws herself right down in there. And that Pharisee's like, go, but who let her in here? I don't believe that's Mary Magdalene, but she's mentioned in the very next chapter. Chapter 8. Came to pass afterward, he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. 12 were with him. Certain women had been healed of evil spirits, infirmities. Mary called Magdalene. Seven. You know, back in my wild days, I had need some hangovers, man. But I tell you what, I don't know what it'd be like to have seven demons in there. Maybe I did. I don't know. But you talk about bad hair days or but you know what? She's also at the foot of the cross. She's the first one. She went to the tomb. She was the first one to lay eyeballs on Jesus when he resurrected. Mary Magdalene. A woman seven levels below the basement. And he appeared to her first. I like that. Those ladies, when I saw them, because I've been with them, I've seen them. Woo! I mean, they've been through it, but to see their zeal for the Lord, because, man, I'll tell you what, I believe when they say, they ain't scared of them Russians. It's like, you should have seen where I was at before. I was in hell. They ain't scared of them Russians. They said, we have peace. Man, that really warmed me up. I really like that. No, the Apostle Paul says, you know, that the preaching of the cross, this glad tidings, this good news, is foolishness, 1 Corinthians 1:18, foolishness to those who are perishing. Foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How can we be on the same planet with all these people? You know, people got brains, you know, they don't use them sometimes, you know what I'm saying, but they have them. Well, you know, I already said, you know, Jesus said, let the blind leaders of the blind, let them, leave them alone. If the blind lead the blind, both go in the ditch. Every human being is created, and they're created for this. And there's no reason why they can't know it all. Jesus said, you got to ask, and you receive. If you seek, he said, you'll find. He said, if you knock, it'll be open to you, because everyone that asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Look at the common people that passed cross that came to Christ. And you, and you, and me. You know, really nobody came to me personally to try to talk me into knowing Jesus. You know what happened? I started reading the Bible. Sue saw me reading the Bible back in those days when I'd been drinking. She said, oh, no, now he's going to get religious. But then she thought, but if it keeps him from drinking, maybe it won't be so bad. Amen. Then I met this guy that just joined our fire department because he had a bat in his house and scared his wife, and she called the fire department. It was 1 o'clock in the morning because he's at work at Oldsmobile. And so we had to go over to the house and had to climb a ladder to get in the window because she wouldn't come down her own door. I don't want to mention any names, but her first initial is Charlotte Whitson. So we had to go in there and get this bat. Me and Tom Moon and some other, Leon, I guess, was with us. We couldn't find that stupid bat. And she had all these kids around her, all these little kids. And she was pregnant, too, I think, yeah. Because Sue told me on the phone, she was listening on the call. She goes, you got to go help that lady. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So just as we're saying our goodbyes, we think it probably flew out. It's probably gone. And we look, and in their little lobby they had in their house, right on the door, on the hinge, upside down, guess what? Was the bat. I go, there it is right there. Ah! Pandemonium. And so Tom Moon, he swung that tennis racket and hit, because the bat was flying around, and hit it, almost hit me right in the face with the bat. I knocked the thing on the ground and stepped on it. But that led to getting to know them. Jeff and Charlotte invited us over for Bible study, and we heard the truth for the first time. And that's 40 years ago this next May. God has his ways, that's for sure. Hey, if he can use Balaam's donkey, I guess he can use just about anybody. Let not your heart be troubled, nor be afraid. Those words are still true right now. When God opens up the eyes of our understanding, what he does, I told you, he doesn't change the world, he changes us. I've told you this illustration before, but it fits in right now. You got to remember, most people are walking through life looking through a straw. Well, if you're walking through life looking through a straw, what you see may be accurate. It's just really not the whole picture, but it may be accurate a little bit. And if all you can see is the bad going through life, and I use this in Belarus a lot because I love their parks. The Soviet Union always did a big thing with parks because they didn't want people believing in God. They said God is a myth. Vladimir Lenin said that Christianity is the opium for the masses. It's for stupid people, for women. You know, Christianity is for the weak. The founder of, you know, communism over there in that part of the world, even though he's not the founder of communism, what's his name is Marx. But anyway, they didn't want people looking to go to some dumb church. So they emphasized theater, you know, opera, classical music, and parks. You're having a bad day? go for a walk, go to the opera, you'll be fine, you know, relax. You don't need God. You don't need some stupid crutch like that, some myth. So they emphasized it. Those parks are beautiful, well-maintained. I love walking in them parks. And I told the Belarusian people, I said, hey, if you're going through life with a straw, looking through a straw, I think about going to one of your parks. And then if you see what the dog left in the park, you know, the dog doo-doo, and that's all you can see, the bad, that's not a very pretty picture. And they get a kind of a chuckle out of that, you know, because they know what I'm talking about, because that's real. But if you can open up that view and get a bigger view to take in now the trees and the blue sky and the children playing in the park and the old people walking holding hands, if you want to look down here in the corner, you can still see the dog doo-doo. You can see the bad. Now, right now, there is a lot of people experiencing terror, like the people in Kosovo. I mean, make a joke about dog doo-doo, but there's people in this life that have suffered things. I'm telling you what right now, the darkness in this world is great. The Apostle John tells us that the whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one, and it's not just bad hair days. What are these people supposed to do if they do survive this terror? When will they ever not be afraid again? I know that Javed Durocko's wife, Mebusan, she can't get over what happened 20 years ago. Man, that took her security and blew it right out the window, and she's still a nervous wreck to this day and suffers depression because she doesn't have a bigger picture. That's all she can see. The women that were assaulted there, the lady that I'm working with now who's trying to help them women, she said they die daily. Why? They can't get those images out of their mind of what the Serbian paramilitaries and mercenaries did to them as a weapon of war. I fear for these people. Well, what is going to be the answer for them after they've suffered so much, or you've suffered it? God would never allow the darkness in this world to be greater than the light that came into this world. The darkness is easy to see, but the light has to be unpackaged. God doesn't change the world. We already established that. He told us the world to be that way, and it is. What happens when it's been your experience and you've been overwhelmed with all the stuff like that? The light has to be unpackaged. Jesus said, I'm a light that came into this world that men no longer have to be in the darkness. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. What you need, God will open up a bigger view, even though the bad happened. But now he can fill that view with light, with truth, with hope, with joy, with peace. That's what he does. That's why he don't change the world. You come to him by faith and you begin to study the scriptures according, you know, rightly divided, that you can be renewed, Paul said, through knowledge into the very image of the one who created you. That's how he does it. Merciful God, help us get through this. Today, the Bible said, is the day of salvation. If, as the Holy Spirit says, he said, if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your heart. This word is alive and powerful. It is life-changing, and it can change anyone. God is not going to change this world. This is here to stay. And if you have, you know, times of basic security and your needs met right now, well, thank God for that. But you don't trust in uncertain riches here. You don't trust in this world. And their people hope over there is not the United States. The people's hope is not more bombs and planes against the Russians. That's not the hope any of us can trust in. We need to be in the Lord. That's what he does. That's what the kingdom of God was all about. And that's what the people were looking forward to. And that's what came into this world 2,000 years ago. And people are still pressing into it. God bless those women that said, we're not afraid. We have peace. Because they've been in hell. So they're not afraid now, trusting in God. God bless you. Thanks for your attention this morning.